To give some context to this story, Jesus and James and John have just been up a high mountain where he was transfigured before them, and they saw Moses and Elijah, and they wanted to stay there, but Jesus said, no, and by the way, don't tell anyone what you've seen until the time has come. They come back down the mountain, and there's a boy with an evil spirit who's convulsing, and Jesus casts out that evil spirit. He was able to do it when his disciples were not. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. They went on from there, and they passed through Galilee, but Jesus didn't want anyone to know it, because he was teaching his disciples and saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. But 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. But the disciples did not understand what he was talking about, and they were too afraid to ask him about it. When they arrived in Capernaum, he was in the house, and he said to them, what were you arguing about on the way? But they were silent because on the way they were arguing with one another about who was the greatest. Then Jesus sat down and he called the 12 to him and he said to them, whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And then taking a little child in the midst of them, he held it in his arms and he said to them, whoever welcomes a little one such as this welcomes me. And the one who welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. The young people are invited to join Diane. She's going to be out here in the comfy chairs. She's going to be talking about who's the greatest. Story from the Bible about that. And she also has a story of corduroy. Should be a childhood favorite of many of us in the room. The little bear that nobody wanted to buy from the department store because he was missing a button on his overalls. Yes. Yes, the disciples were arguing with one another about who was the best. Who's better at this? Who's better at that? And I think even more pointedly, who's closest to Jesus? I'm his best friend. No, you're not. I am. Remember that time when he called me up the mountain and not you? Okay, well, that counts out the 9 of you, and it's just us that are left. It's between the 3 of us. One of us is the best. Have you ever been there? You know, when I was in high school, I had a best friend. And that best friend and I did everything together. In fact, we were the ones that you would call geeks. So we were in calculus together and advanced English and all of that. And she was really tall. She was a basketball player. And she asked me if I would be on the basketball team with her. The only problem was that I couldn't run and dribble the ball at the same time. And I tried for a really long time to learn how to do a layup. I still can't do that, by the way. So she said, you know, there's another option that you can be the manager of the basketball team. So I went to the coach and said, can I manage the basketball team? Now, I don't know if you can imagine this, but can you imagine the coach of any girls' basketball team have somebody come to them and want that job? The coach said, of course you can have that job. So I learned to keep score, and I cut oranges, and I wiped up slop on the floor, and it was all because I wanted to be near my friend. When we got our first jobs, we got our jobs together, and we worked the same shifts. She really was my best and dearest friend. When we went away to college, we applied to the same university. We both got in, and when I showed up that first week of class, I went to see where she had been assigned, what dorm room she'd been assigned. And I knocked on the door, and when the door opened, there was another girl from our high school that answered the door. And it turned out that the two of them had requested to be roommates. And over the course of the next 4 years, I watched as my best friend displayed best friendship with someone else. And it took me many, many years to realize that I actually never was her best friend. She was mine, but her best friend was someone else. So, you know, when the disciples are arguing on the way about who's the greatest, who's closest to Jesus, I have some firsthand experience with what that feels like, and I imagine that I'm not alone. Part of what it is to be a human being is to struggle in our relationships, to struggle in our friendships, and probably more specifically to struggle with our own experiences of envy and jealousy as we struggle to find our place in the world. Jesus knows all about that quite clearly. When they arrive in the house in Capernaum, he says, as if he didn't know, "What were you arguing about on the way?" I imagine if they had been truthful, he probably would have launched into some really great teaching that would have helped everyone, including us. But that teaching didn't happen, and it's not recorded. And we're left to wonder how that went on and what he might have said. But he did know, because he sat them down and he said, "Look, if you want to be first," let's translate that a little bit. "If you want to be best friends with me, you better set your sights on being last. You better set your sights on making sure everyone else is friends with me. And you better be servant of all. You better make sure that everyone else has what they need before you ask for what you need." Well, there's some teaching. It's hard to do, isn't it? You have a really great friend. It's really hard to say to other people, "I have a really great friend. You maybe want to be friends with my great friend too." And then to step back and watch their friendship develop. Because that's what Jesus is asking us to do. To introduce people to our friends. You know, people think what makes the church grow is that you have a really great pastor. And the pastor goes out into the community and knocks on doors and gets all the people from the community to come to the church. And then the church is huge. But you know, that's actually not what makes the church grow. People that come to the church in that way don't stay. The reason they don't stay is because they don't have relationships. And the pastor can't have 500 relationships, pastor to parishioner, friendships, close friendships, too difficult. Even Jesus didn't do that. He picked 12, right? The way the church grows is that people say, "I have a really great friend, and I'd like you to come and meet him." And then they bring their friend to church, and they introduce their friend to their friends, and they introduce their friend to Jesus and to his teaching, and the church grows. By the way, not everyone you do that with will stay, but that's how the church grows. Jesus says, if you want to be first, you better figure out how to be last. You better figure out how to serve people. You know, in my friendship with my friend from high school, I struggled quite a lot. I cried quite a lot. I was alone quite a lot. I didn't have any friends for quite a long time, actually. Until I realized that maybe she never really was my best friend. Maybe there was someone else who had befriended me who was taking way better care of me than I was taking of myself or that my friend was taking of me. And of course, you know I'm talking about Jesus. My life unfolded with Jesus kind of watching all of that and more or less begging me to talk to him about it. My life unfolded with Jesus saying, "Are you done doing that to yourself yet? Because as soon as you're done, I'm here." You know, but there was a period in my life where I really liked alcohol and parties and all of that. And Jesus kind of watched that, saying, "You know, you might not want to do that." But his voice is often hard to hear, especially when people are handing you beer, turning up the music. But it turns out that he was there the whole time. He was speaking to me the whole time. He was caring for me the whole time. And as soon as I stopped and looked around, I realized he'd been with me all my life, never left me, walked with me in that, carried me at times, and that while my friend was exhibiting her best friendship with someone else, he was trying to tell me that I was his best friend. See, that's the God that we have. Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. He hears you. He knows what's going on in your life. And he's there, like a watchful best friend with a ready and helping hand. He's beside you and beneath you and before you. He's waiting all the time for you to turn to him with whatever it is that's going on in your life. See, he's not so much interested in that conversation of us arguing about who's best friends with who in our human relationships or in our relationship with him. He doesn't care about that. What he cares about is you. You have a best friend. Whether you live into that relationship or not, you have a best friend. You always have had. And he doesn't rank us. He doesn't say, Laura's a better friend than Phil. Or Phil was a better friend to me this week than Laura. What he says is, Laura's my best friend and Phil is my best friend. Elias Roger Liefling is my best friend. And that's why we come here. You might have noticed that there's an object on the altar not ordinarily there. I was thinking as I set it there that it, I don't mean any offense by this Alex who made the box. I was thinking as I set it there, you know that box? It looks an awful lot like a funeral urn. Doesn't it? And then I thought, that's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. That's actually not a funeral urn, it's a faith chest. And inside there is a Bible and beautiful children's books and a holder for a baptismal candle, and there's a stole in there. There are faith objects in that chest. It's a sacred place to hold sacred things. But it's perfect that it looks like a funeral urn because we start here and we end here. We start here and we end here. Here we respond to that great friendship that Jesus is inviting us to. Here we learn about that friend who never leaves us, never forsakes us, helps us through the worst of things. Here we learn about him and we learn to love as he did and we learn to carry those things out into the world. And when our time is done, we come back here and we celebrate our life together. Our life together with Jesus, our friend, and our life together with Jesus' friends. So our life is kind of a coming and going of the tide. We wash in and out, claiming our friendship, begging for it at times, wishing it were more real, hoping it will be less co-opted by the world and turned into something else, seeing it reflected in the eyes of one another, learning to cherish it and value it above all for the life it brings not only to us but to the world. You know, my friendship thing in life never really got healed. But it's okay, because things in our life are broken. And it's okay because I have a God who calls me friend. I have a God who says, yeah, you know what happens in human relationships? We either teach one another the limit of our love, or we teach one another what love really is. And I'm interested in the latter. And I can tell you are too, because you're in this place. So for some of us, we're kind of Christmas, Easter-only kind of worshipers. Or we're every other Christmas, every other Easter kind of worshipers. Or we're I'll worship at my friend's wedding kind of Christians. And there are other people in the room that come every Sunday, you know, wouldn't miss a Sunday unless they have a better vacationing opportunity, right? To all of you, Jesus says it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter for my love for you. You're my friends. Hold on for dear life, because it's kind of rough out there. But take my gifts, they're yours. I love you and you're mine. Grace and peace and thanks be to our God. Amen.